We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1 as we think about Christmas, as we think about Advent. Matthew 1 verse 23, it's a very, very familiar passage. It's a restatement of a passage in Isaiah, and it goes like this. Matthew 1 verse 22 says, "And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your word would be real and your word would be alive as we think about and experience your presence this morning, this season, and every day. For it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Who's the most famous person that you know? You know, I thought about that a little bit. I don't know if I really, if I can actually say I know anyone famous. I know that when I was a child, I shook hands with Little Joe Cartwright. We were in the same room together, and it was just incredible. I mean, it was a rodeo arena, so it was a pretty big room, and it wasn't just Little Joe and I. It was a bunch of people there, and I don't know if he really remembered. Well, of course he doesn't now, but I don't know if 6 months after that if he would remember. I also shook hands with Ronald Reagan. We were in the same room together. It was a smaller room, smaller than this. And we were with a bunch of people. So I shook. Those are the two people I can think of off the top of my head that are famous that you could say I met, but I don't know if I really met them when they're just, you're in a line shaking hands and everything. But I spent time around them. I was in the same room with them. But I'll have to say I surely don't know them. And I don't think that they ever took the chance to get to know me. I don't really know what they're like. I don't know what they really value other than what you might read, but not really personally. And I'd have to say, to be honest, I never really was their friend. And they really weren't my friend. But here's the thing. It seems like every Christmas, people seem to want to shake hands with Jesus. They really seem to want to be in the same room with him. But I wonder if they really know him. Sure, people shop and do the Christmas thing. They get in the spirit. They try to, you know, try to do better and try to turn their life around or do a good deed and be nicer to people during Christmas time. Or maybe the family gets together and they decide, don't fight. It's Christmas. You know, it's like, wait till Arbor Day. Then you can fight, you know, or something like that. You should never fight. But that's what people try to do. And what happens is, and doing all this Christmas stuff, sometimes people, I think, miss out on the presence of Christ. And one of the reasons is because he is not who they perceive him to be. The projection that people have of Jesus oftentimes is not as accurate as it could be. And consequently, folks tend to spend time during Christmas around Jesus, but I wonder if they spend time with Jesus. And we have all these symbols here. You know, we have the chrismons on the tree, and we have the candles, and we even have the Lord's table before us today, and we have this season of Advent, which is a time to zone in and focus on the coming of Jesus Christ, how he's already come and how he's coming again, his presence with us. You know, the Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. God is in the process of culminating, making himself known. And it says, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I say culminating because God didn't just go hide in a room somewhere up in heaven and then all of a sudden in the fullness of time just come back out of the middle of nowhere. I say culminating because God has always sought to make his presence made known among his people. You know, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and then things were going well. And then, as you know, Adam and Eve decided at a point in time that rather than living dependently upon God, which is how we were created to live, they decided to go their own way and be like God. And they were tempted, and they ate the fruit. And so all of a sudden, they decided at a point in time they would live independently from the Creator, from God, their Father. And consequently, man has struggled to live independently from God ever since then. And you can look at the state of the world in many, many places where there is wonderful, wonderful good existing alongside wonderful, terrible, terrible, bad wars and rumors of wars or whatever it might look like. But when that happened, God did not abandon the world. Instead, he continued through history to make himself known, to make his presence known through Israel. He says, I will be your God over and over. You will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Throughout the Old Testament, you can hear that. Even in Leviticus, which I've been trying to read through, we understand that God is making himself known, and he does it in many different ways. In Leviticus 26, he sets up this whole sacrificial system. It's hard to really understand and memorize everything of it, but what it does tell us is that God is holy, that God is involved, and he says, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. He sent his prophets, and their message is always the same. God says, I will be with you. He sent the prophet Isaiah. Kit and Melinda read from that book in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 7, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we shall call him Emmanuel. And sure enough, God came through, like he always does, on his promise. We know what Emmanuel means, God with us. It means that God is present. And Christmas is a time where we celebrate the most profound historical truth there ever was. Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. But what does that mean? I mean, what is that name? What does God's presence mean to us as believers? Well, there's a lot of ways to answer that question. You know, we think about what does the presence of a good friend mean to you? You know, the fact that they're there, the fact that a good friend cares, that you can be yourself around a good friend and it's okay, that a good friend knows you and they still like you. God, in a sense, is like that when we talk about his presence, but he's much more than that. There's a lot of things that we can think about when we think about the presence of God, when we think about Emmanuel, and I want to look at one. God's presence is our great comfort. We sang about God being our great comfort. You know, think about that word. I mean, what do you think about when you hear that word comfort? You know, maybe you think about comfort food. You know, well, I just want to go home and have some chicken and dumplings, or I want to have some cornbread dressing and gravy, or anything with gravy. You know, or I want to have something that's sweet. You know, and I picture a movie scene maybe where a girl's had a bad day and so they crawl up on the couch in their PJs and got that round container of ice cream and they're just eating the ice cream out of that. You know, maybe we think of that when we think of comfort. Or maybe when you think of comfort, here's one of those infomercials where you think of a sleep comfort bed. Wouldn't that be great to have a bed that you knew would be comfortable? And I know maybe you've seen those infomercials on the sleep comfort by number system. When we go to Detroit, Glenn Parker's in Detroit at a meeting. That's where our headquarters are, and I go there, and they put us up in a hotel. They have those beds. They're queen-size beds, and you can adjust each side so that it's very comfortable. And they have this remote. It's not really a remote. It's like a hospital remote where it's connected to the bed. And so, man, I was excited because I'm going to get a comfortable bed. And you set this number, and there's this air membrane in there, and the higher the number, the firmer it is. So I got in there to try it out, you know. So I'm going to put it on a low number, and I could feel myself sinking down in the bed. And then I said I'd get me a higher number so it'd be really, really firm on the bed. And I got it, you know, about 65 or 70, which I thought was just right, and I was lying there. This is all right. And then all of a sudden I started thinking, but I wonder if it'd be better if it's a little bit firmer. Now it's a little firmer. Ah, that's pretty good. I wonder if it'd be a little better if it's a little less firm. So I'm going back and forth the whole night, and I barely got any sleep because I was trying to get this comfort just right. It just didn't seem to work out right. You know, comfort, feeling good. I was in St. Louis the other day. I had to take Cullen to the airport, so we stopped to do a little shopping. And, you know, I've got this mall routine. I'm sure a lot of men have a mall routine. I go to the mall and I go to the food court and check out all the free samples, and then I look for a place to sit down. Now, if you go to a nice mall, let me give you some advice that you probably already know. If you go to a nice mall and you want to rest, find a Brookstone store. Because Brookstone has these wonderful, wonderful chairs. So I went into this Brookstone and they had a new model chair. And I mean, it was great. It was a reclining chair. It was plugged in. And it literally, you sit in the chair and there's a place for your arms. You lean back. It's a massage chair. You lean back and there's a place for your neck. There's a place for your feet. And I sat there in this store and punched this multi-purpose function button on the thing. And boy, it would massage my arms and it would massage up and down my neck. Even things would come out and massage my hips and it would massage my legs. And I mean, I'm just sitting there, you know, just having a wonderful, wonderful time. And then I looked at the price. It was $34.95. Okay, I'll get two of them. $34.95. Then I started thinking, that's like buying a car. So I thought, wouldn't it be nice if it had wheels on it and maybe you could call Harley Davidson, they could stick an engine in it? Then I could justify buying it, bringing it home. And can you just imagine? There goes the Presbyterian preacher in his, you know, in his lounge car going up and down the road. But it was very, very comfortable, worth going back just to shop. Wish I could lease it, you know, or something like that for like 2 minutes. Comfort, to rest, to ease, to soothe, to console, to bring cheer. The definition in the dictionary might say feeling no pain or to instill a sense of ease. And that's what we think of when we think of comfort. We have a comfort zone. We like to stay in our comfort zone. Don't make me feel uncomfortable by getting me out of my comfort zone. And the Bible calls God the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. But you see, He is not the God of all comfort in order to instill the sense of ease, and in order to instill the sense of no pain and of feeling good. That's not what the word comfort means when it's applied to the God of all comfort. And that's not what it really means when it applies to comfort for a Christian. I mean, look at the word. The word is comfort. You know, and come is like that Spanish word con. You know, like you go to the restaurant and you order a chili con queso. Or chili con carne, you know, chili with meat, or chili con queso, chili with cheese. So that word means with. Come means with. Fort is like the word fortify, which means to strengthen. And so when we say that God is the God of all comfort, it doesn't mean that God is the one who soothes us, or God is the one who takes away our pain so that we feel good. When we say that God is the God of all comfort, we're saying that God is always there, and He's strengthening us, and He's encouraging us with His presence. That's what it means when it says that God comforts us. Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a story about a storm, and there's a vessel caught in the storm off of a rocky coast, and the storm threatened to drive the vessel onto the rocks, and thus, you know, killing and causing all the passengers to drown. And so in the midst of all this terror, in the midst of the howling wind and the rain and the waves and the storm, one man who was a passenger, contrary to orders, went to the deck, and he made that dangerous trip on the deck in all the storm and everything to the pilot house, where he saw the steerman holding on to the steering wheel unwaveringly, and inch by inch, that steerman was turning the ship around, back out to sea. And the pilot saw the man watching him, and he smiled. And then the passenger went back below, and he gave out a note of great comfort. He said, "I've seen the face of the pilot," and he smiled. "All is well." God is our God of comfort. And Jesus may or may not calm the storms in our life, but He always is a God, a person of comfort who identifies with us. Radical comfort. Comfort in darkness. Comfort in the storm. Comfort in an affliction. Comfort means to instill with strength and confidence. So then how do we experience that? How do we experience God's comforting presence? How do we experience Emmanuel? Could be two ways. We experience it by faith, by believing, by living in a relationship where we, at the end of the day, are depending upon Jesus Christ. If you need strength this morning or whenever, Jesus promises strength. If you need to experience His presence this morning, Jesus will give you His presence. Believe first in Him. Remember when Thomas was talking to Jesus in John chapter 14, he says, believe in God and also believe in me. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. And we believe that God exists. And that He not only exists, but He's involved, because that passage says, believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. I was reading an illustration that would fit right here. It says this: during the terrible days of the World War II Blitz, a father holding his small son by the hand ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard was a shell hole. Seeking shelter as quickly as possible, the father jumped into the hole and held up his arms for his son to follow. Terrified, yet hearing his father's voice telling him to jump, the boy replied, I can't see you. Well, the father, looking up against the sky that was tinted red by the burning buildings, called to the silhouette of his son and says, but I can see you. Now jump. The boy jumped. Why? Because he trusted the voice of his father. You see, our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith in Emmanuel, enables us to face life, to face whatever it is that we're going through. Not because we can always see Jesus Christ, but because in faith we know that He always sees us. So we experience the presence of God by faith. That means jumping, hearing His voice, and jumping into His outstretched arms. That's one reason, by faith. Second reason is this: why does God comfort us in the first place? In fact, why does God do anything for us? Well, the answer to that is, the reason He does anything for us at all is so that He could get the glory and so that we can share it with others. And you see, faith in Jesus Christ gives us that power so that we might comfort others, just like Jesus Christ comforts us. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. There's no greater place to go for comfort than to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. It really is true, like Father, like Son. And it's no surprise that when Jesus began His ministry, what did He do? He went up to the temple and He pulled out the scroll, the reading, and He read from Isaiah 61. And here's what He said. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, and He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to comfort all who mourn. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, identifies with His people. And He is the source of all comfort. When does He often comfort us? See, a lot of times if people think that comfort is ease or comfort means we're trouble-free, but God never promises to take away each and every trouble that we might go through. But He always promises to give us strength in the midst of our struggles. And why does He comfort us? So that we can comfort other people. To comfort those in affliction and in trouble. And when we follow Christ, we learn to receive the comfort from Christ. And He uses that so that we can give great comfort to other people. In other words, we experience the presence of Christ when we take the presence of Christ to other people. You know, Jesus' presence in the life of His body was very important. His being with His people was very important to Him. Not just at Christmas, but all the time. That's why when He called His disciples together for the last time, He said, I want you to understand this. And He instituted a new sacrament called Holy Communion. The word holy means set apart. And communion, that the prefix come, is with union. So he's saying, set apart to be with me. That is a picture of how we live our lives in Christ. What a timely celebration this Christmas. So we're going to celebrate this picture. We're going to celebrate this shadow. We're going to celebrate this institution, this sacrament that the Lord Jesus gave us to remember. We're not going to celebrate it forever. We're going to celebrate it until he comes back again to be with us. And what a wonderful, wonderful Advent that will be. Let's prepare our hearts for the table. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence because you have made your presence with us through your Son, Emmanuel. Father, I pray as we sing the song that you would prepare our hearts so that you might minister to us with your presence so that we might be able to minister to others. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.